Blog Talk Radio.
Anointed, baby Dub,
Woo!
I remember the day you.
Good evening. Welcome to our show, Perfecting the Ordained Love Walk. I'm your host today, Lady Carolyn, and today's topic is learning how to operate in love through temptation. But before we get started, we're going to open with some prayer so that I would be decreased and God can increase in me. All hearts and minds are clear. Dear Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today I bring this ministry and the needs of your people before you. Father, I thank you for all the Christian work that's being done and for all the teaching of the gospel far and near and for all the messengers of peace who carry your word from place to place to people of all races, culture, beliefs, rich and poor alike, the downtrodden, Lord, the needy, Lord, and the ones in despair, Lord, that they may hear a message of love and from my mouth your words and be brought closer to you, Lord. Inspire every listener, Lord, and help all that have ears to hear. Father, we ask that all temptations be brought to light, and all who would be and would long to be centered, sinners, no more, God. We just pray right now that they will become believers of you and doers of your word so that they may be encouragers of others to want to do the same, Lord. God, I ask now that you give me the grace to speak your word and continue to cover us in your blood. And Father, please continue to forgive us because we still know not what we do. We honor you and we love you. Father, keep us strengthening your word. We thank you this day for all you have done, for all you will do. And most of all, Lord, we thank you so much for your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died so that we may live. And it is in his name that we do pray. Amen. Amen. And again, I'd like to say thank you for joining us today. Our topic today is learning how to operate in love temptation. And we will be discussing how to get those temptations of daily living have to be met with the operation of love to be cast down and for us to be free from them. We all face temptations, but we also have the love of God who will always provide us a way out. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to be utilizing several scriptures today. I'm going to start with these two coming out of the Message Bible. The first one is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Amen. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, here's what I want you to do so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Amen. That's the word of God for the people of God. And today I'm going to be talking about it's seven categories that everything that we do can actually fit in. And these are things that lead us to temptation, and all of them fit somewhere in our daily lives or our habits and experiences. And these categories of temptation are the seven deadly sins. And we're going to discuss them one by one to get a recognition of how we don't operate in love while we are following those temptations. And learn how saying what love is not in order to know what love is and how many times we gloss over our behavior and attitudes of those things that really command our attention so that we can understand that we're not operating in God's will. What we're doing is we veering farther and farther away from it when we go off into these categories, and we're not following the scripture that tells us that was so important to us when God commanded that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and we love one another as he loved us. So, Jesus, when he became a man, he was a perfect example for us. You know, he wrote in Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 18, you know, it says that because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So that tells us right there that we're going to be tempted. We are going to have those temptations, and they're going to come forth to us on a regular basis, and we have to always be reminded that it is God that put that way out. Many times we just can't do it on our own. We are not going to be able to do it. We have got to call on God and ask him to help us. The very first one that we're going to look at is love. And the scripture is Matthew, the 5th chapter, 28th verse. It says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And the word lust means to have an intense desire or need. And, you know, I heard somebody say one time, they said, anytime that you look at someone, and, you know, we all can recognize beauty in people, and that's okay. God wants us to see that beauty. But when we take that second look or that longing look, and then we have those thoughts of that desire of this person in an unclean light, that's where we veer into lust. And we have to be real careful, because the mind is where the battlefield is at all times. What is it that you're thinking when you're looking that way? We have to be real careful about how we entertain those thoughts. The next one is gluttony. And it says, the scripture for gluttony says, "For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." And gluttony is excess in eating and drinking. And, of course, we can recognize that drowsiness, because I tell you, I suffer from this myself. When I'm looking at, I'm already full, but I need that little piece of dessert, you know, that something inside of me that tells me I need one more thing. It's calling my name. It looks so delicious. And then all I can do is lay down and go to sleep. You know, when we lead to that gluttony, it takes us into that spot where there's nothing else that we can do, and that desire is always there. You know, we have a saying in our fellowship, you know, that one is too many and a thousand is never enough, and that's how it can be with gluttony. That's that always want more, always want more, never getting satisfied. The next one that we're going to look at is greed. And the scripture for greed is Ephesians 4:19. And it says, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." And greed and lust is counteracting each other, you know, excessive or reprehensible. And it says reprehensible acquisitiveness. And acquisitiveness is an intense selfish desire for wealth or possessions. You know, you never get enough of anything. You know, you got one car, and that car is a nice car, but you got to have another car. You know, you're looking at how many clothes you got in your closet. You know, how much food do you really have in your cabinets? And a lot of times with greed comes hoarding. We want to keep everything. I can remember, you know, going through my closets and looking at stuff and telling myself I need to keep this because I'm gonna wear this later. And that same thing could be sitting there for 2 or 3 years, you know, when somebody else can use it, you know. Or I see the same thing somewhere else in a different color, and I feel like I need to have it. You know, these are things that cause us not to care as much about ourselves as God has ordained us to care about our own selves. Same thing with gluttony. God don't want us swole up, you know, about the bus and feeling uncomfortable all the time. We'll go to laziness. Laziness says, the scripture for laziness is Proverbs 15, verse 19. It says, "The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is the highway." Amen. It says laziness is disinclined to activity or exertion. And what that means is that you're not energetic, you're not vigorous, you don't have the strength. You know, there's a scientific saying that says a body in motion stays in motion, a body at rest stays at rest. And what they're saying is the more that I move around, the more I have the energy to move around. But the more I lay around, then that's all I really want to do is lay around. And when I'm just laying around, the only thing that's coming to me is nothing. Nothing at all. And I don't know about you, you know, you really have to stay away from lazy people, because lazy people will drain you. You know, I don't know if you ever went on somebody's house and they just laying around watching TV and you came over, you had all this energy, came over there to get them to go somewhere with you and do something, and they was just laying around saying, you know, I'm just going to stay here and watch a little TV. I really don't feel like doing nothing. And they all comfortable in their chair. And next thing you know, you done lay back with them. And they done sucked your little energy that you had away from you. We have to stay away from lazy people also, because that's a temptation for us to become as lazy as they are, because we are assimilators of our association. You know, we have to be real careful of the company that we keep so that we won't be tempted to fall into the same murk and mire that they're in. You have to be real careful about that. Next one we're going to go into is wrath. And it says the scripture for wrath, I'm going to come out of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And wrath is a strong, vengeful anger. Wrath is that kind of anger that is that strife that stirs up and continues to stir up, because it's always that tit for tat. I got to get you back. I got to get you back. You know, I got to have the last word, and I got to, if whatever it was that you to me, I got to make sure that I do it even 10 times worse back to you, because, you know, you cut me, but I got to stab you. You know, in wrath, you have to be real careful understanding that when the scripture talks about us loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, when I'm in communication with somebody, I have to make a conscious decision not to stir up wrath. If there's something going on in the conversation that doesn't sound good to my flesh, I'm already know that my spirit is already needing to take over, because I got to be conscious that I'm going to either have to go by the fruits of the spirit, or either I'm going to be tempted to go off into my flesh. And so I got to make that choice. I got to make that decision right then. Which way am I going to go? Because God's going to, you know, we was talking earlier about how God's other name is something. And a lot of times once you get in trouble, you'll say, something told me I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have did that. That's something is God speaking to you, God providing that way out of that temptation to go off into wrath. So we do have a choice. We do have a choice. The next word is envy, and the scripture for envy is 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 1 and 2. And the verse says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And envy is a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, with a desire to possess the same advantage. And what that is you see somebody and they're being blessed, and instead of rejoicing in that person's blessing, it hurts you to see them being blessed. And you're thinking to yourself that should be you. Why should they have that blessing if you don't have it? And that's envy. And that's the difference, you know, like jealousy is when Jealousy is when you see that someone has something and you want it. That's like wanting what somebody else has. But envy is actually wanting to be that person. You don't just want what they have. You want to be them. And envy is one of those seven deadly sins that we really have to look at, because a lot of people do suffer from envy. And a lot of people may not even realize that that's the problem, the reason why they can't get along with people, the reason why they can't rejoice and be glad in other people's blessings, the reason why they want everything for themselves and don't want anybody else to have anything. Envy is one of those things that brought about the feeling that and the thoughts that there's some competition in ministry. There's no competition in ministry. You don't have to be envious of anybody else's ministry. God has made room and manifestations for everybody. He knows that everybody cannot reach everybody, so he sent many out. Plenty are called, carry the word, to spread the word of the gospel. You know, so there's no competition in ministry. There's no need to be envious of anybody that's doing anything for the Lord, because he is no respecter of person. If he called you, not if you call yourself, but if he called you to do his will and to help his people, then that's your responsibility. That's what you do. That's your assignment. And if somebody else got a calling on their life to do the same thing, that's their assignment. Okay, and then we'll go to pride. And it says about pride, we're going to go to Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs 16:18. And the scripture says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. And we definitely need to be aware that pride goes before destruction. That means that just before you destroy yourself, so much of yourself, and a haughty spirit before the fall, and just before you fall, you wanted everybody else to think a lot of you. And being that type of person, you know, when you open up the door for pride, and one of the things that I do like to talk about is false pride. You know, false pride is standing up for something that don't nobody believe in but you. You know, non-existent virtue. It ain't really happening, but you believe that you got it going on like that, and you standing on that, and that's your story, and there's nothing else that anybody can tell you or show you or teach you. You know, and just before you fall flat on your face, these are the thoughts that you have about your own self. The quality or state of being proud is inordinate self-esteem, And that is the last one of our seven deadly sins and characteristics that can lead us into temptation. And one of the things that we have to really, really understand about temptation is that it's going to come. You're going to be tempted. You're going to want to eat too much. You're going to want to spend too much. You know, you're going to want one sex too many. You know, you're going to be lusting after other people's stuff, and they're other people's people. And things are going to happen. But know that there's always going to be a way out. You do not have to stay stuck in your own thinking. You don't have to keep that prideful spirit where you don't want anybody to know what's going on with you, and you're trying to uphold something that you don't need to be holding on to, because it's the very thing that's keeping you down. You don't have to go off into wrath. You know, you can be careful with your words. You can operate in the fruits of the spirit. You can operate in love and learn how to be kind and talk to people in a manner where people feel like they're being respected, or people feel like you understand, or people feel like instead of trying to bring somebody down or cut somebody up or show somebody off or be the one that stand over top of people. You know, we got to be mindful of the things that we do that keep us from being the type of people that God has ordained us to be. You know, God, when he talks about us loving one another as he loves us, that is so big, because the way that God loves us is that he don't judge us and keep us bound to our mess, the things that we have done, the mistakes and errors of our ways, like people do. Man will do that to you. You know, you make a mistake and people want to hold that over your head for the rest of your life. God is not like that, and he's telling us and calling us not to be like that either to each other. He doesn't want us to be the kind of people that's envious and jealous of each other. You know, they call it a crab spirit, where you pulling your brother and your sister down. Every time they try to get up, you know, you thinking that maybe they're going to get something that you don't have, so you don't want to help them. People hold information. If you ask somebody, where did they learn something from, where did they get that from, they don't want to tell you, because they don't want you to get what they have. And they don't understand that you can't get what somebody else. What you get belongs to you. But we do help one another to receive those things and enhance those gifts that God has given us. Every person has their own gift, and if your gift is not to be a helper, then you're probably not one of God's people. Amen? And then you have to look at when he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, sometimes you might not want people to love you like they love themselves, especially, you know, we going off into gluttony and pride and lust. You know, if that's the way I care about myself, then maybe maybe that's the problem that I would have operating in love with others. You want somebody that can hold themselves accountable to doing the word of God and also being the type of person that God has ordained them to be. When God tells us to love ourselves, he's giving us specific instructions on how to do that, and we have to be able to love others the same way. He wants us to be those kind of people that help each other, encourage each other. He said exalt one another. We're supposed to do that on a daily basis. We're not supposed to do it yesterday and then today, I ain't got a kind word for you, I can't smile at you, I can't speak, I pass right by you, I'm not finna say hi. He don't want us to be those kind of people. We sit up in churches next to the pew, and if the minister didn't say, tell your neighbor, if he didn't say that, we wouldn't even look over there to see who's sitting next to us. You know, we should not be those kind of people. We should be able to sit on a pew next to somebody and know who these people are, because we have spoken to them, we have gotten to know them, we have learned to love them, and we're treating them with kindness and respect. Because that is my neighbor. That is my neighbor. So, you know, we can also look at that laziness. That laziness. Ooh, I tell you. I was thinking, I know one year I had suffered well, it wasn't one year. It was a lot of years. I suffered with depression. And I can remember just not wanting to get up and do anything. And it seemed like those years just went by without me participating in my own life. Laziness is a thief. It is purely a thief. It will rob you of your life. It will rob you of your living skills. It will rob you of your coping skills. You have to be real careful that you just don't become that object that just lays there and does nothing, you know, not being productive. It's sad. It really is. And I just thank God for the deliverance from that, because it took God to actually lift me up and give me something to do and give me the desire and the strength and the courage to get up out of my bed and do it and keep doing it. And I have to stay mobile, you know, so that I won't fall back off into that same thing, because it is so easy to just fall prey to the temptation to just lay down and not do nothing, you know, or put off today, put off till tomorrow what you could be doing today. You know, procrastination is just a long word for lazy. Let me see. I'm about to run out of words, so I'm just going to leave you with this. It says, however, judgment and retribution for our sins are part of God's way of running a balanced moral universe. We need to get the message across that we do not go on sinning, thinking that we won't have to reckon with God and others. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know he has conquered sin in our life. It is through his death that our sins have been cleansed and no longer to be remembered. Jesus' life makes the difference. In Romans 4, 7 through 8, the scripture said, blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord would never count against him. And that's the word of God for the people of God. And again, I hope that you got something out of this show. I hope that there was something that was said or felt that could help you change and make a difference in your own life. The lesson is always love, no matter what it is that we're going through. If we just go back to the scriptures of our commandments, that the way that God told us, he just said it so clearly, how we're supposed to treat one another. And it's so important. That covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. If we can just learn how to operate in that love and understand that that is the most important thing that he has ever given us, and it is the best gift that we will ever, ever receive. God is love. And if we don't know God, then we won't know love. So if you think that you have any difficulty operating in love, get to know God, get to know who he is, get to know how he operates, because that is how we manifest this love in our spirit, and we become those empathetic, simple, caring, kind, courageous people, helpers, compassionate. You know, we become those people that don't mind doing something for somebody, the people that refuse to be a crab, refuse to be envious of others, refuse to hold anybody back or hold anybody down. We are those type of people. So, you know, when we live the way that God wants us to live, what we end up doing is operating in love. So, again, I'd like to thank you so much for joining this show and being a part of Love Walk Ministries, Love Walk International Ministries Incorporated. And again, I am Lady Carolyn, and I will always say, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, what's happening for you is that you're learning. And whatever it is that you need to learn, just remember, the lesson is always love. In Jesus' name, I just want to thank you all for being a part of this show, and I hope that you will join us again. And until then, we'll see you later. Amen.